Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Samach Gimel in Pesachim. We're back on daf Samach Beis, and we're in the middle of a complex discussion in the Gemara. A lot of it is based on Samach Aleph. So, truth be told, is that really Samach Aleph, Samach Beis, and to the very conclusion today of Samach Gimel and Aleph up into the Mishnah. So, it's a continuum along that was started by a Mishnah. But really was started by a discussion between Rav and Rav Chisda. So if you look back at the Mishnah, Samech Aleph Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah was discussing what happens when the Kohen has in mind, while shechting people who cannot eat the Karban Pesach. Either they physically cannot eat it, they halachically cannot eat it, whatever the reason is, but they can't eat Karban Pesach. So as we know, the Karban Pesach's primary function is to be eaten, right? As opposed to other Karbanos, where you eat the other Karbanos, but that's not the primary function. The primary function is to bring a kapara, to bring an atonement to the person who brings it. But nevertheless, when it comes to the Karban Pesach, the primary function is to eat it. So if I'm shechting on behalf of people who cannot eat it, so therefore the shechita is no good, the shechita is psula, the Karban Pesach is pasul, and that's the end of that. The Gemara brought in a machlokus between Rav and Rav Chisda. If you take a look at the very top of Samech Aleph Amud Beis, so there is a debate between Rav and Rav Chisda in the following scenario. Let's say I shech the Karban Pesach, and I shecht it for people who can eat it, right? Shechto lemulin, I can shecht it for people who eat it, amenashis kaprubo arelim, but with the intent that she's kapra bo arelim bezrika. But I'm also stating, this is the Kohen now speaking, I'm also now saying that when I do the zrika, I'm going to do a zrika for arel, for people who are not circumcised. So is that good or is that not good? So Rav Chisda says it's possible, and Rabbah says that it's kasha. So Rav Chisda's of the position that no, it's disqualified. Meaning because you stated that when I'm going to do the zrika, I'm going to do the zrika for an arel. So therefore Rav Chisda says it's no good, and Rabbah disagrees. Rabbah says it's good. Now, the totality of Samach Aleph Amud Beis offered one pshat in terms of how to understand the machlokus between Rabbah and Rav Chisda. It's based on the Braisa and on their understandings of the Braisa. That's one approach. And then there was a second approach, and that was the approach of Rav Ashi. If you take a look at the bottom of Samech Aleph Amud Beis, so the Gemara brings in now the position of Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi says that really what they're arguing about is a principle of Hoel, meaning we know in general, we have this concept called Shinui Balam. Shinui Balam says that if I don't have the proper owner in mind, but I have another owner in mind, so by the Karban Chatzis and by the Karban Pesach, so it's going to be disqualified, it's no good. That's called Shinui Balam, right? Shinui Kodesh is changing the designation of the Karban, meaning instead of saying it's Karban Pesach, I say it's another Karban, that's no good. And Shinui Balam is where I have don't have the rightful owner in mind, but the Kohen has somebody else in mind. Okay. So that's a starting point of the discussion, and the Gemara says, and really what Rav and Rav Chisda are arguing about is the following. In this scenario, I'm shechting Karban Pesach. Okay, the Arel is not registered over this Karban Pesach, and I have him in mind. So is this Shinui Balam? Is this now, am I changing the owner? So yes or no? Meaning, yes, obviously I am. I mean, he's not even registered over the Karban. But no, because he's an Arel. He can't even eat Karban Pesach. So should he even be part of the whole discussion? Meaning, is it fair to say that I changed the owner when the person I changed it to is a person that can't even eat it? Okay, that's the question. So Rabbah's position is, he's not even part of the discussion. Meaning, even though the Kohen had him in mind, but because he's an Arel, so basically, we dismiss him. Right, I obviously don't mean this personally. I mean halachically. He's dismissed because he's an Arel, and therefore he can't be included in the Karban Pesach. Okay, that's the, and because he's dismissed, so then Mr. Rava says, so you really didn't do Shinui Balam. You didn't change the owner because you're talking about somebody who's an Arel. Okay, that's the position of Rava. What is Rav Chisda's argument? Rav Chisda says, Hoel. Rav Chisda says, well, look, I know he's an Arel right now, but he could get a Bris Milah. It's not that complicated. It's hard. It's not complicated. He could get a bris milah, and since he could get a bris milah, so therefore he's part of the discussion, and therefore, if the Kohen had him in mind as opposed to the rightful owners of the Karban, so that's considered Shinui Balam, and therefore it's going to be pasul. Good? So in other words, it's basically the machlokus between Rav and Rav Chisda is whether or not we subscribe to this principle of Hoel, or we don't subscribe to the principle of Hoel. Now, the last thing we did yesterday, all this is just simply review of the Gemara. I told you, it's like one long sentence. And not only is it a long sentence, but it's almost three blocks of Gemara that's on this track. The last thing we did yesterday was the Gemara stating that it comes out now that Rabbah in our scenario does not hold of Hoel. Rav Chista holds of Hoel. And we know, going back to the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Vav, we know that their positions were exactly the opposite on Daf Mem Vav, meaning each one of them now seems to be role reversing. I'm back on Daf Mem Vav in the scenario where I'm cooking on Yontif for the next day, for a weekday, where there, Rab and Rav Chista both changed their tune. Rabbah says, you're not going to be Chayv Malkus, and Rav Chista says, you are going to be Chayv Malkus, and Rabbah says, you're not going to get Chayv Malkus. Why not? Since maybe guests can come today, and because guests can come today, so therefore, even though I really cook for tomorrow, but it could be that I'm cooking for today. In other words, the principle of Hoel. And Rav Chista doesn't hold to the principle of Hoel over there. So the Gemara immediately addressed the Rabbah, the contradiction within Rabbah. Now, what are we going to say regarding Rav Chista? So this is where we ended yesterday. The Gemara says, in defense of Rav Chista will say Hoel as a Chumrah, but he will not say Hoel as a Kula. Meaning in the case of cooking from Yontif to the next day. So there, Hoel would save you from Malkus. Rav Chista says, nah, Hoel's not going to save you from Malkus. You're going to get Malkus. But in terms of our scenario over here, Hoel is going to change the designation from the rightful owners to someone who is an RL, but since he could get a Mila, so therefore he's in the discussion. Their Hoel serves as a Chumrah. Hoel will actually disqualify the Karban, so we'll say Hoel a Chumrah, but we will not say Hoel as a Kula. Period. That's what we got to yesterday, and we continue in the Gemara today. We're on Samach Beis Amin Aleph. So, Amar Le Marzucher Breid Ramari Le Ravina. It's about a third of the way down. The last word in the line is Amar. The first word in the line is Chista. And now the Gemara is going to go back. It's going to go back to Samach Alpha Mid Beis. Now, there was a Braisa that we learned in Samach Alpha Mid Beis. And basically, what the Braisa wanted to try to uncover was the following. What happens if I have in mind people who are Arelim and people who are Mulim? What happens to such a Karban Pesach? Good or no good? So that was the Bryce's question, and the Bryce says, and the Bryce says, well, let's see what we can compare it to. Should we compare it to Tuma, or should we compare it to Piggle? And then if you remember the Bryce from yesterday's daf, comparing it to Tuma would mean that it would be fine. Comparing it to Piggle would mean that it's not fine. Which is it more comparable to? That's what the Braisa discussed. And then the Braisa says we really could go either way in the comparison. So Tuma Lomar Zos. The Braisa ended with the words, well, that's what the Torah is trying to teach us when it said the word Zos. And then the Gemara had a whole discussion, Rab and Rav Chista, what was the conclusion of the Braisa. But anyway, right now, here's what we're going to do. From here, Samach Beis Amud Aleph, where we're starting right now, until basically the top of the next Amud, the Gemara is going to revisit the Braisa, because there seems to be an inconsistency in the Braisa. One that I didn't note yesterday when we went through the Braisa together, but one the Gemara is going to note right now. So let's see the Gemara inside. The Gemara starts off. Amar Le Marzucha Breda Ramar La Ravina Katani. Let's take a look at the first part of the Braisa. Hova Arla Poselas Vituma Poselas. Arla is a posel. Tuma is a posel. Ma tuma lo asa ba mixas tuma kechola tuma. Now, when it comes to tuma, if it's only partial tuma, that's fine. So af arla lo asa mixas arla kechola arla. Same thing by arla. If it's only partial arla, that's fine. Now, we know, what does that mean, partial arla? We know. It means it's a group of people, some of them have a mila, some of them don't have a mila. That's partial arla. What does the Braisa mean when it says partial tuma? What's that talking about? Hay tuma echidam ilem betumas gavrei umay lo asa ba mixas tuma kechol tuma di ikar ba vechamish gavrei tumeim va arba vechamish gavrei taharim lo paslehu tumeim l'taharim. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you what I think it means. Partial tuma means I have a group of people, some are tame, some are tahor. So gabe arlanami halo pasle. Did none. So the Gemara says, but okay, that's the case of Tuma, where again, it's the same construct. Group, let's say a group of 10 guys, five of them are Tame, five of them are Tahor. So the Gemara says, and the point of the Braisa is it's not Pasal. So Halo Pasal did none. Lamulam Valarelim Kasher. Maishna Tuma de Pshitale, Umaishna Arla de Mesafkale. So here's what I really don't get. Meaning, we're trying to uncover a mystery regarding Arla. I mean Arelim. I mean non-Malt people. So we're trying to uncover a mystery. What if I have a group, and the group is a composite of five people with a Mila and five people with who don't have a Mila? And the Braisa said, well, let's compare it to the case of Tuma. I have five people who are Tame and five people who are not Tame. And essentially, the Gemara is now wondering, I don't understand. The case of Tuma was so clear-cut. Why should the case of Arelim be just as clear-cut? In fact, it's in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's a very fair point. So when it says mitzas tumah, here's what mitzas tumah must mean. Mitzas tumah must mean that some of the animal is tameh and some of the animal is not tameh. Now obviously we're not talking about while the animal is alive, because while the animal is alive, the animal is not tameh. We're talking about after the animal was shechted. Parts of the animal became tummy for whatever reason, and parts of the animal are not tummy. And what does it mean? It means very simply, the ilu itme chad me evarim hayde itme starfina levi ida chalchina lei. It means the part of the animal that becomes tummy, we burn that part. The part of the animal has remained tahor, we eat that part. Okay. In other words, to put it simply, the parts of the animal that are tummy are not going to affect the parts of the animal that are tahor. That's what mitzas tuma means in the first part of the braisa. So b'mayu kimta b'tumas basar. Good. So that's the ha'amada. That's the ukimta of the first part of the braisa. When the braisa is discussing mitzas tuma, it means the meat of the animal. Some of it is tummy. Some of it's tahor. The part that's tummy we burn. The part that's tahor we eat. So far so good. Now ema seifa. Let's move on. Let's go to the next part of the braisa. Tuma and Arelus is specific to Karban Pesach. Pigol is a universal disqualification. That was the second part of the Braisa. So Umay Tuma. Okay, now we're saying Tuma specific to Karban Pesach. Now what do we mean here when we say Tuma? If we're talking about the meat of the carbon becoming tamei, that's universal. That is a universal disqualification. That's across the board by every single carbon. That if the meat of the animal becomes tamei, you can't eat it, you have to burn it. So at this point of the braisa, you realize we can't be talking about tumas basar because tumas basar is universal. Elapshita b'tumas gavre. So it must be talking about tumas gavre, meaning the people become tamei. Because look, when it comes to any other carbon, can a tummy person bring a carbon? Right, think about this. The answer is yeah, not a problem. What do you mean? He's tummy. How can he bring the carbon? The answer is very simple. He'll give it to somebody else. Look, I need to bring this carbon. I'm obligated to bring this carbon, whatever. It's a nedra, it's a nedava, it's a chatzas, whatever the case is. He's obligated to bring the carbon. I have the small problem. I can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm tamei. So here's what I'll do. I'll give you my animal. You'll bring the animal to the Beis HaMikdash. You'll offer it on my behalf. Not a problem. Well he's tamei, so what? He's not touching the carbon. Again, he's touching the animal while it's alive. Animal's not mekabel tuma while it's alive. The animal's now in the Beis HaMikdash. He's in the comfort of his own home. It's fine, it's not a problem. A tummy person can bring a carbon in general. Is that true by Karban Pesach? The answer is no. A tummy person cannot bring Karban Pesach because, again, we go back to the same point. We keep hitting again and again. Because the Karban Pesach is primarily for eating. He's tummy. He will not be in a position where he can eat it. Therefore, he can't bring the Karban Pesach. So you see that Tumas Gavre is exclusive to Karban Pesach. The Ilu Pesach are of a tummy, Meshach and Pischeim. And when it comes to Karban Pesach, if you're a Tamir, if you're an Arel, you cannot bring the Karban Pesach, even Ayde Achir, even by sending it through proxy, you can't bring the Karban Pesach. Fine. So now you realize the inconsistency. When we were discussing Mitzas Tumasu in the first part of the Braisa, there we argued that the only way to really understand that is that's talking about Tumas Basar. Then we moved on to the second case of the Braisa, the second point of the Braisa. There, again, we just logically concluded that it has to be talking about Tumas Gavre. So, Reisha b'Tumas Basar, V'Seifa b'Tumas Gavre. So, that sounds like the Braisa shifting. and that's usually not acceptable. You can't shift topics. You can't go from Tumas Basar to Tumas Gavre. So Amrale in Shem Tumas Kaparech. So the first response of the Gemara is, we're not really shifting, meaning we're talking about Tumah. In one case, we're talking about Tumas Basar. In another case, we're talking about Tumah of the individual. But we're really talking about Tumah. It's not a genuine shift of topic. The Ibai Sam Estefa Namim B'Tumas Basar. Or, the Gemara says, conversely, what we can argue is that it's not talking about Tumas Basar. I'm sorry. The second case is, in fact, talking about Tumas Basar. And how can we argue that? Now, again, remember the problem was Tumas Basar. No, I didn't mean Tumas Basar. Second case is talking about Tumas Gavre. Now, the argument we made earlier is it can't be talking about Tumas Gavre. I was right the first time. I apologize. Ibai Zema Suma Isefa Nami Tumas Basar. The second half is talking about Tumas Basar. Now, the problem was, as we mentioned just a moment ago, that it has to be something exclusive to Karban Pesach and something which is exclusive to Karban Pesach. And if it's Tumas Basar, well, that's not exclusive to Karban Pesach. That's a universal disqualification. That was a problem that we had earlier. So what does the Braisa mean? That it's not universal? Look, regarding any other carbon, here's the rule. There are two consumers generally to a carbon. You, the owner, I guess you can add the Kohanim as well. We could say three consumers, if it's a Shlamim. You, the owner, the Kohen, and the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is a consumer. What does a Mizbeach eat? It eats its part. Chelev of the animal, the fats of the animal. And certain insides of the animal go on the top of the Mizbeach. Right, what we call the Imurim. Okay, so there are three consumers to a carbon. If I could just reduce it down to two. People and the Mizbeach. Now, in order for me to sprinkle the blood, there has to be some consumer. Now, in general, in the general world of carbonos, it doesn't matter who the consumer is. As long as there is a consumer. It could be you, it could be the Mizbeach, it doesn't matter. But there's got to be somebody. So generally speaking, by all carbonos, mention it, mechelev v'basar kayim. If the fats become tame, but the meat's fine. Mention it, mebasar v'chelev kayim. Or we can go the opposite. That the chelev is, the chelev is tahor and the meat is tame. Either way, zorek es hadam. You have the right to sprinkle the blood because at least the sprinkling of the blood is a matir. It allows consumption and doesn't matter. As long as there is a consumer, that would be fine. Ve'ilu be'Pesach. Now, what makes Pesach unique? Nitma chelev v'vasar kayim zorkes adam. If the chelev becomes tameh, but the meat's edible, so then I sprinkle the blood. However, nitma basar v'chelev kayim, let's go the opposite. Let's say the meat became tameh, the entirety of the meat became tameh, but the chelev you could still put on the top of the mizbeach, eino zorek es hadam. There, we don't sprinkle the blood. Again, we're talking now about the meat becoming tameh. The tzitz will only make it so that if done, it'll be acceptable. But it will not allow you to do it lechatchila. So, eino zorek es hadam. So why not? And again, it goes back to the same point. Because if the only consumer of the Karban Pesach is the Mizbeach, that's unacceptable. Because as we keep saying again and again, the primary purpose of Karban Pesach is that we eat the Karban Pesach. It has to be an experiential eating of the Karban Pesach. And because the Chelev is the only thing left that's Tahor, this is not an acceptable Karban Pesach. We will not sprinkle the blood. So, that is how we can argue that the Tumah mentioned in part two of the Braisa is talking about Tumas Basar, and in terms of exclusivity towards Karban Pesach, the Gemara just identified how it's exclusive. It's exclusive in the case where the meat is Tameh and the Chelev is Tahor. By any other Karban, sprinkle the blood. I have a consumer. By Karban Pesach, don't sprinkle the blood. Because if the only consumer, the Karban Pesach, is the Mizbeach, that doesn't count. That's not acceptable. Okay, so far so good. We had We had Tuma, the first mention of Tuma in the Brisa, second mention of Tuma in the Brisa. At first glance, what appeared to us is that the first Tuma is talking about Tumas Gavre. The second Tuma is talking about Tumas Basar. And once again, I flipped it. The first one is Tumas Basar, the second one is Tumas Gavre. And the Gemara just wonders, how can the Brisa shift in terms of topic? So the first answer is, there's no real shift. It's Tuma, just different applications of Tuma. The second answer is that we could argue that both cases of the Brisa is talking about Tumas Basar, not Tumas Gavre, as we just got done saying. The Gemara says, Ema Seifa. Okay, B'mayu Kimta. Okay. Sorry, I just made up words in the Gemara. That happens. B'mayu Kimta, we're two lines now from the bottom of Samach Beis Amad Aleph. B'tumas Basar. Now we just argue that the first and second mention of Tumah in the Brisa is talking about Tumas Basar. Ema Seifa. Let's go to the third part of the Brisa. The third time Tumah is mentioned in the Brisa. Dan in Davar Shalahuta Mechlalo. Midavar Shalahuta Mechlalo. Ve'al Tochiach Tumah Shari Hutra Mechlalo. We said, you know, it's easier to compare Arel to Pigol and not to Tuma. Why? Because by Arel and by Pigol, there is simply no exception. If you're an Arel, you could never eat the carbon Pesach, period. If Pigol was done, you can never eat the carbon, period. There's simply no exception. By Tuma, we have an exception. One we're going to spend a lot of time discussing over the course of these next few weeks, which is, what if the Jewish community is Tameh? If the Jewish community is Tameh, we're still going to bring Karban Pesach, and we're going to eat it in a state of Tumah. Okay? So that's why it's easier to compare Arel to Pigol, where there's no exclusions to Tumah, rather than to Tumah, where there is an exclusion. Good. That's the point of the Brisa. Now, when we said Tumah over there, what are we talking about? So, V'al Techech Tumah Sharei Hutra Mechala. B'mai. Ilema, we're now on the top of the next summit. B'tumas Basar. If we're talking about the Tumah of the meat, Hecha Hutra, I don't understand. Where's the Heter? If meat becomes Tameh, you're not allowed to eat it under any circumstance. I'm about to qualify that sentence, but I'll say it anyway. Under any circumstance, you're not allowed to eat meat that becomes Tameh. Elipshita B'tumas Gavre. So we're talking about Tumas Gavre, meaning the halach is that when the Jewish community, the majority of the Jewish community is Tameh, we're allowed to bring the Karban Pesach. It's talking about people becoming Tameh, not the meat becoming Tameh. Ve'hechot shemichalal b'tzibur. Okay, and that's the heter. So reisha b'tumas basar, seifa b'tumas gavre. So now, again, just a simple, what seems to be an inconsistency in the Brisa. We're going tumas basar, and then we're going to tumas gavre. Aren't we shifting in the Brisa? The first answer you know already. So in shem tumah kaparech. So the first answer is, we're not shifting. It's Tumah. It's one global discussion of Tumah. Different applications of Tumah, but it's Tumah. There's no real shift. That's the first answer. Or what we could say is, same. The entirety of the Brisa is talking about Tumas Basar. And when does it become permissible? When can a person eat carbon that became Tameh? On Pesach. How do I know that? Based on the Mishnah coming up later on. When we bring Pesach B'Tumah, in a year where the Jewish community is Tameh, and we're bringing Karban Pesach B'Tumah, not only are we bringing the Karban Pesach B'Tumah, we're eating the Karban Pesach B'Tumah. Despite the fact that the carbon will become Tameh, obviously. In other words, it's impossible, nearly, impossible for us to eat it without first the meat becoming Tameh. Good. So that is, under those circumstances, I'm eating the meat, that's Tameh. So it could be talking about not Tumas Gavre, but rather Tumas Basar. All right, period. Okay, really a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, but just to try to create symmetry in the Brisa. When the Brisa was talking about Tumah, there was three references to Tumah in the Brisa. Is it talking about Tumah of the individual versus Tumah of the meat? And the Brisa and the Gemara just noted it seems to be inconsistent. So two ways of dealing with it. It's not a question to get off the ground because it's all different forms of Tumah, so there's no shifting. There's no real inconsistency. Or the second answer is, it's all talking about Tumas Basar, and we explain how each one of those references could be talking about Tumas Basar. Okay. Masiv Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. Okay, and now the Gemara is going to ask a question. Now, going back to the beginning of today's shir, right, the end of yesterday's shir, what was our punctuation of yesterday's shir, and how did I open up today? But that we said that according to Rav Chisda, Hoel is a, we'll say Hoel as a Chumrah, but we won't say Hoel as a Kula. In other words, Rav Chista has a limited application of this principle of Hoel. Looking at the potential, if it results in a stringency, that he'll do. If it results in a leniency, that he won't do. That was Rav Chista's statement that he made on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara notes, it seems to be problematic based on the following. Meisav Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. The Gemara in Zvachim deals with the following scenario. Pesach she'avar shnasa. Let's say I have a Karban Pesach, but the problem is it's too old. We know the Karban Pesach has to be a goat or sheep within its first year of its life. Okay? And so in this scenario, what happened? This animal now is, you know, for the purposes of Karban Pesach, it's an aged animal. Even though it's a young 2-year-old goat, it does not matter. It's too old. Vishachta bizmano. And what happens is, it's now the 14th day of Nisan, and we shecht it on Pesach, and we shecht it lishmo. Now, think about it. What's the problem? The problem is as follows. Once the animal has celebrated its first birthday, okay, the animal now can no longer be a Karban Pesach. What is it? It's a shlamim. Right, we talked about this already before. We're going to see this time and again. A Pesach is convertible to a Karban Shlamim. Once it's no longer can be brought as a Karban Pesach. Now, usually it's a calendaric issue. Meaning usually it's because I'm simply not bringing in the 14th day of Nisan. I'm bringing in another day of the year. So it's converted to a Shlamim. Here, however, the complication is we brought it on the 14th day of Nisan. We're actually saying it's a Karban Pesach. The problem is that the animal's too old. And once the animal has gone beyond its first year of its life, it's no longer Karban Pesach. It now basically defaults into a Karban Shlamim. Okay. V'chein ha-shochet achen l'shem Pesach, bizmano. Or, another scenario, pretty similar, is that I take another Karban, I bring it on the 14th day of Nisan, and the Kohen says, I'm shechting it l'shem Pesach. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer posel v'Rabbi Yoshua machsher. So Rabbi Eliezer says, it's possible, Rabbi Yeshua says it's machsher. Now, please, I encourage you, look at Rashi over here, look at the Gemara in Zvachim, where it's discussed in much greater detail, the basis for Rabbi Eliezer's conclusion and the basis for Rabbi Yoshua's conclusion. At this point in time, I'm going to zip right by it, but I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm zipping right by it, meaning that this is a Zvachim discussion. But for our purposes right now, we just want to focus in on one particular point. So, taima bizmano. Now, all this is as a result of the fact that I shechted it when? On the 14th day of Nisan. And I said it was being brought as a Karban Pesach. Hashala bizmano kasher. Now, if we changed one factor, and that is, let's say I didn't bring it on the 14th day of Nisan. Let's say I brought it on any other day. Sounds like it would be kasher. The amai. Now the Gemara says, now here's where I get stuck. Nema, let's say the following. Hol uvizmano pasol, shalom bizmano nami pasol. Now we're going to use the application, the principle of hol. Since if I were to do this on the 14th day, it would be disqualified. Therefore, if I do it on any other day, it should also be disqualified. So it's basically using the principle of hol to arrive at a chumra. Which, if you remember, Rav Chista on the previous Amud said, I'll do that. If Hoel results in a Chumrah, I will say Hoel. We will use the application of Hoel. So the Gemara over here says, because if I shecht an elderly goat or an elderly sheep on the 14th day of Nisan, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's pasul. So since that's the case, therefore, if I shecht in any other day of the year, it should also be pasul. This is the Gemara's question. Amar Papa Shani Hasam Damar Krav Amartim Zevach Pesachu Beavyaso Lo Hu L'Shem Acherim V'Lo Acherim L'Shmo Bizmano Shu Pasul. The L'Shem Acherim Acherim Psulim L'Shmo Shlo Bizmano Shu Kasher L'Shem Acherim Acherim Kasherim L'Shmo. So basically, the answer of the Gemara is Hoa would have been a good argument over here, but we have a pasuk and we have a drasha. In other words, on Pesach itself, on the 14th day of Nisan itself. Since if I were to shecht a Karban Pesach for any other Karban, it becomes pasul. So if I shecht another Karban L'Shem Pesach, it's also going to be pasul. But if I go to any other day of the year, that's not true. I shecht a Karban Pesach for any other Karban or not. Let me not say any other carbon. But if I shecht carbon Pesach l'shem shlamim, it's acceptable. Therefore, if I shecht a shlamim l'shem Pesach any other day of the year, it's also going to be acceptable. Period. Okay, that took us through just a simple question answer. According to Rav Chisda, who says ho l'chumra, why don't we say ho l'chumra in this scenario over here? And the answer is we have a drasha, we have a pasuk that does not allow us to say ho'el. Okay. Good. We're going to... how about this? Let's just go with the simple Gemara on Daf Memvav. Right? The Rabba versus Rav Chista. Right? I cook on Yontif. Okay? So, and I'm cooking on Yontif for the next day. So, am I going to get Malchus, yes or no? So that is a machlokus between Rabba and Rav Chista, and the Rambam goes like Rabba. You're not going to get Malchus, which means that, you know, in that scenario, again, I don't know how broadly you want to apply it, but in that scenario, we do hold of whole. Okay, moving along. All right, now, there's a question that really we've been holding on for a while. We haven't asked the question formally, and we're about to do it. I'm going to ask the question now, but you'll see the Gemara gives like a kind of a little introduction to the question. The question is the following. You probably already know the answer to the question, but let me formally ask the question. The Mishnah going back to Nun Tes Amud Beis says that if I have two thoughts in mind while shachting the Karban Pesach, I have Lishmo and Shalom Lishmo. What's the conclusion? No good. Okay? One Machshava is good, and the other Machshava is no good. And what did the Mishnah say? Not good. Then we go to the next Mishnah. If you take a look at the very next Mishnah, in Samech Aleph, the Mishnah there says, let's say I have two people in mind. A person who's who has a meal and the person who has an aral. So what's the conclusion there? Oh, that's fine. So in other words, one machshava is good, one machshava is no good, and that's fine. And the question is really simple. Meaning, why on Nuntes does it say Lishmo, Shalom Lishmo? Well, that's no good. I had one acceptable thought and one unacceptable thought. Well, that's no good. And meanwhile, in Samech Aleph, when the Kohen shecht in the Karban Pesach, I have in mind people who can and people who cannot eat. Oh, that's okay. Well, what's the difference between the two cases? Okay, that's the question. We haven't asked it formally yet. The Gemara is about to do so. But before we do so, we're treated to a great story. Okay? Although, I'll let you be the judge. Reb Simlai also lekamei de Rav Yochanan. So Rabbi Simlai goes in front of Rav Yochanan, Amrlei Nissen Lemar Sefer Yochsen. Here's what I want to learn. I want to learn together with you, he says to Rav Yochanan. And specifically, I want to learn Sefer Yochsen. Okay. We can all ask together. What's Sefer Yochsen? What is that? Right? We've gone through a lot of Gemara together. I never heard of that. So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, it's basically a running Medrash on Divrei HaYamim. Now I say Medrash, to be fair, that's not exactly what Rashi says. Rashi says it's Masnisen, the Divrei HaYamim. Okay, Braisas, that go together with Divrei HaYamim. Okay? Divrei HaYamim is basically chronicling, I mean that both literally and figuratively, that's what they call it. They call it in English chronicles. It chronicles the, basically, Toldos HaAdam, right? Generations of people, going from Adam Rishon, going all the way to the end of Bais Rishon. Okay? I've not covered it from cover to cover. But that's basically what Divrei HaYamim is. The Gemara elsewhere notes that very often you're going to find inconsistencies between Divrei HaYamim and as presented through it, and basically it's not really consistencies, it's because Divrei HaYamim is encrypted inside of it, different teachings, different understandings. So in other words, it's deep. Divrei HaYamim is deep. And so basically what this Rabbi Simlai wanted to learn to Rav Yochanan was the depth of Divrei HaYamim. So teach it to me. So Amalei Mehechanat. So now, background check. Rav Yochanan says, first let me find out, where are you from? So Amalei Milud. So I was born in the town of Lud. Vehechan Mosvech, and where do you live now? Minarda. So Amalei, so Rav Yochanan says, your background check does not check. Ein nidonim lo leludim v'lo lanahardayim. I cannot teach Sefer Yochsin to people from Lud and people from Naharda. Now, are we supposed to understand this? So Rashi offers two pshatim over here. Rashi says either number one, Rav Yochanan was just pushing him off, meaning Like, in other words, Rav Yochanan just didn't want to teach it for whatever reason, which the Gemara doesn't tell us. We're not privy to that information, but Rav Yochanan just didn't want to teach it. Or, it's an introduction. It's all. It's just, this is from here until I already asked the question, but the Gemara is just giving an introduction. You'll see. So the or Rashi offers another pshat. Rashi says that people from Naharda and Lud are coming from tainted yichus. Their yichus is not good, and I don't fully understand this. But you can't teach sefer yuchzin, which kind of makes sense. Meaning sefer yuchzin means it's all about lineage. You can't teach sefer yuchzin to people who have questionable lineage. Okay, that's another pshat that Rashi offers. Either way, v'kosha kein da miluda musvich minarada. So, and you, right? You hit the jackpot today. I don't mean that positively. Meaning, you were born in Lod, and now you live in Naharda. Either one of those would have made you disqualified to be a student, and now you're disqualified for both reasons. Okay. Kafi of Artse, but to Rabbi Simlai's credit, he was assertive. Meaning, even though he got rejected from Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't just simply walk away. He came back to Rabbi Yochanan. Please, I beg you. I'm ready. I want to learn. So, Amalei Nisnei Begimel Yarche. But then Rabbi Simlai tripped over himself. He said to Rav Yochanan, and oh, by the way, I want to learn it within 3 months. Okay? So in other words, so he set himself up a curriculum where he was going to learn Sefer Yuchzin in a 3-month period. Shaka Kala Patek Beis. At that point in time, Rav Yochanan lost his patience, took a clod of earth, threw it at Rabbi Simlai. It was a great way of basically saying, I'm not ready to teach you. I should, as the school year is about to start, I should really internalize this. I should like make this part of my teaching dynamic. Have clods of earth ready alongside me. So Amar Lei, Uma Bruria de Vasar de Rabbi Barte de Rabbi Chanan Yemen Trajon de Tanya Tlas Mea Shmaitata Biyuma Migimo Mea Rabasai. So he says, Rav Yochanan says to Rabbi Simlai, look, honestly, let's take a look at Bruria. Now Bruria learned, and she learned a lot. She learned 300 brises a day. She learned from 300 various Talmid Chachamim, and Vafilo Hachi Lo Yatsa Yidei Chavasa B'Tlashnin. And still, she didn't get through what we would call Shas. I don't know if that's really the right term. But basically, she didn't get through everything until 3 years. So you're talking about somebody with tremendous Hasmada, and really just not lazy, like really applies, in this case, herself. And meanwhile, it took her 3 years. And you want to do Sefer Yuchzin in 3 months? Right? V'at amart b'tlas ha'yarchei? Okay. So, basically, rejection. Now, again, by the way, it was very interesting. I mean, all this put under the category of introduction. Meaning, all we're doing right now is just introducing a question. But it is a great story, and we're really treated today to an insight. Although, I think the story raises more questions than it does answers. But anyway, so now Rabbi Simlai really gets rejected. He gets rejected from Rabbi Yochanan, so he's walking away. But remember, Rabbi Simlai is not, in other words, he was a Talmid Chacham. He knew things. So as long as he's together with Rabbi Yochanan, so one discourse on halacha. Okay? So he's not going to get to learn Sefer Yuchzin together with Rabbi Yochanan, but at least they can have one back and forth together. Amalei Rabbi Ma Bein Lishmo V'Shalo Lishmo La'ochlav V'Shalo La'ochlav. What's the difference? What's the difference between the Mishnah Nuntes and the Mishnah Samech Aleph? Because really, it's the same. The Kohen has two intents. One's good, one's no good. And the Mishnah Nuntes, what was the conclusion? Pasul. On the Mishnah Samech Aleph, what was the conclusion? Kosher. What's the difference? So, Hovitzorba Merabanan At, Tave Emalach. So Rav Yochanan says to Rabbi Simlai, look, you're a Talmid Chacham. You tell me. So, Lishmo v'shalo lishmo psula begufo. And so now what the Gemara is going to note is that there are four differences between the two cases. So in the case on the Mishnah Nuntes, on the case of Lishmo v'shalo lishmo, that's a disqualification in the carbon itself. La'ochla v'shalo la'ochla v'aim psula begufo. But in the case of where the Kohen has a mind, people who can eat and people who can't eat, that's not a disqualification of the carbon. That's a disqualification of the people ready to eat the carbon. Okay. One's intrinsic, the other one's extrinsic. That's one difference. Lishma v'shalo lishma ef shalav bar yisuro. Lochla v'shalo lochla ef shalav bar yisuro. Another difference, says the Gemara, is that in the case of lishma v'shalo lishma, it's the psul and the carbon. I don't know. I can't identify. Meaning, when the Kohen had the machshava of shalo lishma, that was a disqualification in the carbon, and it's kind of unidentifiable. As opposed to the case of people who have a mila and people who don't have a mila, it's very easy to identify who does and does not have a mila. That's the second difference. A third difference. Lashma v'shalo lashma yeshna b'dala avodos. Lachla v'shalo lachla v'ena bar b'avodos. A third difference is that the psul of shalo lashma, right, a shinui kodesh, that would be true by any one of the four avodos. The ochlav and shalola ochlav, that's only true by the avoda of shchita, as we got done saying already a number of times. Ein zrika la ochlin, the psul of arel is not going to apply during zrika. And finally, the fourth difference: lishma v'shalol lishma yesh nabitzir b'kibiyachid, la ochlav v'shalol la ochlav ein nabitzir b'kibiyachid. A fourth difference is that when it comes to the psul of shalol lishma, that would be true by private karbanos, that would be true by communal karbanos. The psul of ochlav and shalol la ochlav is not true by public karbanos. Okay, so four differences. All four differences point to the fact that the psul of shalol lishma, it's just a stronger psul. So therefore, when a Kohen has composite thought of both lishma and shalol lishma, that's no good. As opposed to where the Kohen has a composite thought of la'ochlam and shalol la'ochlam, that's okay. Okay, four basic differences. The Gemara makes Ravashi Amar psul begufa v'yesh shalavari surachad amilsehi. Ravashi notes that really, if you think about it, one and two are really the same point. Meaning what Rav Ashi does is he just consolidates it from four down to three. Because really the first point of the first difference was, well, shalom lishmo is intrinsic, and la'ochlav shalom la'ochlav is extrinsic. Which really leads us to the next point, which is, because lishmo shalom lishmo is intrinsic in the carbon, I can't identify what part is lishmo and what part is shalom lishmo. As opposed to the ochlav and shalom la'ochlav, because it's extrinsic, I can point. He has a mila, he does not have a mila. Ma tam amar psula begufa mishum de yefshel avar isura. Okay, good. Ami amar rami bar Rav Yuda amar rami yam shenigna sefer yuchsin. Sefer yuchsin was tucked away, meaning part of the reason why we mentioned sefer yuchsin here on Pesachim daf samach beis, but that's it. Part of the reason why is because it's no longer around. Now, the simple pshat on the Gemara is that it was tucked away, hidden. Rashi over here says it was forgotten. Either way, we don't have it anymore.
What does it have to do with the idea with the Yivama that, you know, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai have different opinions of a Yivam and the
I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. I have no idea. I mean, all I know is one statement by Rashi that it's just Brisos on Divrei Yamin. After that, I don't know. I don't know what it's about. But after it was put away, Tashish Kochen Shel Chachamim the KMA or A Nehem, the Chachamim have been diminished. Amar Marzutra. Marzutra gives us an example. Bein atzel atzel teinu dal meos gamli didrasha. Look, take a section of Divrei Hayamim. Go open up to Divrei Hayamim. Open up to Perek Ches, right? And I think it's the end of the Perek over there. I looked at it very quickly, just so I would be somewhat conversant on this. Trust me, I'm not. So the and it goes for almost an entire Perek, right? The end of Perek Ches to the beginning of Perek Tes. Anyway. It's a section of Divrei Hayamim. And 400 camel loads of drushas were there contained in Sefer Yuchsin on that one section. Okay, which now we go back to the conversation between Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Simlai, and you begin to understand Rabbi Simlai's comment that he wants to learn in 3 months. Rav Yochanan says it's just ridiculous, right? It's, you know, just to put it in terms of the way we would understand, meaning to go through all of Gemara in 3 months. Meaning, it takes us 7 years, 7.5 years. We do a page a day, and even then, we feel like sometimes we're speed reading through it. Like in other words, you realize it's just, you know, it was not possible. Tanya, we're on the very bottom now of the Amud. Okay, so really, we dealt with now the very basic question: what's the difference between the Mishnah and Nuntes versus the Mishnah and Samach Aleph? Why when the Kohen has a composite thought of Lishmo, Shalo Lishmo, that's no good. Why, when the Kohen has a composite thought of La'ochlam, Shalo La'ochlam, that is acceptable. And there are four differences, according to Ravashi, three differences, but basically, there are different degrees of psul. Tanya. And we end off our entire discussion for today by learning one brisa and trying to understand the brisa. Acherim Omrim. Now, this brisa quotes Acherim. We assume, and we will assume for this morning, that Acherim is really code for Rabbi Meir. Okay? He's referred to as Acherim. Acherim Omrim hitim ulam la'arilam kasher arilam ulam ulam pasol. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, in this brisa, it matters who came first in the Kohen's mind. Meaning, our Mishnah says that if a Kohen has intent for people with a milah and people that without a milah, so our Mishnah says that's fine. And our Mishnah never says that order is significant. The Brisa, as authored by Acherim, which is Rabbi Meir, says it matters. If the Kohen first says, I'm shechting this for people with a milah, and I'm shechting it for people who are arel, so that's fine. But if I go the opposite, and I start with people with an arel who are arelim, and I move to people with a milah, so the Brisa says that's not fine. And what we'll be doing here, from here until the Mishnah, on Samach Yimol Med Aleph, is we're going to just try to understand. What? Why? What difference does it make? Gemara's question. Maishna mulam la'arelam dekasha dekula ar labinan v'leka. Arelam mulam nami kula ar labinan v'leka. The Gemara articulates the question. What's the difference? Meaning, the only reason why arelis would disqualify the karban is if everybody's an arel. But here, the Kohen's expressing two groups of people of mind. Both those who are arelim and those who are mulim. So it shouldn't make a difference who came first. As long as part of the group has mulin, the karban should be fine. So, the Gemara is going to have three proposals. So proposal number one, Lema kasavri acherim eino l'shchita ela b'self. Now, here's what I'm not going to do this morning. And you see the time, it's late. And there is a shak levitarya in the Gemara in Zvachim, which I'm not going to go through. If you'd like to see it, you see the big Rashi starting on the first line and moving down to about halfway down the Amud and beyond halfway down the Amud. So Rashi over there goes through the whole Shak Levitarya. I'm going to reduce this down. I'm going to simplify it for our purposes and just express it in the following. We have a basic debate in terms of Shechita. Now, what is Shechita? Shechita is very simple. It's taking a knife, cutting through the neck, and cutting both the trachea and the esophagus. And you have to go through the entire circumference of, or I should say the majority, of the circumference of the trachea, and you have to go through the esophagus in order for the shechita to be a valid shechita. Each one of them is called a siman, right? Literally, that means a sign. But just in other words, that's what you have to do in order to shecht. And if I don't, the shechita is not going to be a valid shechita. Okay, now, how do I view, in other words, let's just assume, just for the purposes of explaining this and making this easy, that I have to go through 100% of the trachea and 100% of the esophagus. Now, that's not true, but again, I'm simplifying. When I'm cutting through the first 99% of it, do we call that shechita, or is that just simply prep? And it's when I get to the final edge, that's called shechita. Now, it sounds like a whole lot of semantics. I mean, who cares what you call it? So generally speaking, you're right. We'll call it semantics. Who cares? But it's not semantics. Because if I'm calling the entire cutting process shechita, so that means that when a Kohen who's intending, having intent, so his intent is only valid while doing the avoda. And the avoda is the shechita. So therefore, as long as he's going through the cutting process, as long as he's slicing his way through, and the back and forth motion through shechita, if from the beginning of the neck until the end of the esophagus, if all that's called shechita, so then machshava would be significant during any one of that point. If, however, the original cut is just prep work, and it's only shechita when he gets to the final end, so then his ability to make any statement is only going to be significant only at the tail end of the cut. Okay? So in other words, if shechita is from beginning to end, mitchil v'yatsof, he has a lot of time to think and to inject an intent, a poor intent into the shechita. If it's only at the end, so he only has a fraction of a moment to have intent. So now, suggestion number one. So the suggestion is that shechita is only at the end. So the first suggestion of the Gemara is because he holds shechita is only lebesof, and because there's only a fraction of time to have a thought, basically it only allows him to have one thought. So if the people with a mila come before the people with an arel, so they're basically encapsulated in that one moment of time. If he opens up with arelim only, then followed by mulin, so then the arelim are the only ones who basically got in at quote-unquote the right time, at the time when you can have a machshava. So that's the first suggestion of understanding why there's a difference. So to put it simply, there's only time for one group to be included in that machshava. Okay. The Gemara, now this is proposal number two. Really, shechita is from beginning to end. So the Gemara proposes, look, in his mind, he was going to include both people. But in terms of what he actually verbalized, what he articulated, he only articulated arelim. And only after the shechita, he said, oh yeah, and mulim as well. So, v'ha pligi, the rabbeir savar lo b'inam piv libo shavim, v'rabbanan savar b'inam piv libo shavim. And, does there have to be agreement between that which you say and that which you thought? Now, again, how do we know? We have to, in this case, we have to trust the person who was articulating. Right? How many times have you spoken to somebody and he said, oh, that's what I said, but that's not what I meant? Right? Okay. Happens often. From my experiences. So, right, in other words, and Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, there doesn't have to be agreement between that what you said, that what you meant. What did you say? I said arelim. What did you mean? I meant both. So the Gemara says that's another possible way of understanding the Braisa. The Braisa that says that if I say arelim, it's no good. It's because even though you said arelim and mulim, you said mulim too late. Yeah, but you wanted to argue. Yeah, but I thought mulim, even though I didn't say it afterwards. Rabbi Meir, the author of the Braisa, says, I don't care. It's what you said, it's not what you meant. The Gemara says, yeah, but we know that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that there has to be agreement that with that which you said versus that which you thought. Let's say you intended to say truma, but by accident the word meiser came out of your mouth. I make an edge, I'm not going into that house, but he thought one house, he said another house. It's kind of what we would call Freudian slips, if you will. This is a Mishnah. And as Rashi points out, it's a Stam Mishnah. And we assume that Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Okay. So we see that according to Rabbi Meir, your heart and your And your speech have to be in agreement with one another. And finally, the last proposal. Elam Rabbaya Resha Dharma Simon Risha and Lamulin. Visiman Shani Afla Arelim. Dibisiman Shemi Nami Psicha Bay Mulin. Okay. In the first case of the Braisa, for while cutting the trachea, I'm assuming the trachea is what you cut first. You say, this trachea is going out, he's dedicating. This trachea is going out to the members of the group that have a mila. And then as he's cutting now the esophagus, he says, oh, and this siman is going to be even for the arelim as well. So I know that sounds, all this sounds strange in terms of why would he do that? But anyway, so seifa da'amar siman rish, okay, that's the first part of the braisa, and that would be fine. Seifa da'amar siman rish la arelim, siman sheni lemulin, and then the seifa is talking about where he cuts the first siman for those without a mila, the second siman with those who with a mila, the b'siman rishon halo psicha be'mulan. Now here's the problem: one of the two pipes in this the trachea was dedicated just to people without a mila. Rab Meir l'tamid amar mefagim mechatzi matir, and Rab Meir says that there are two matir, and there are two things that are permitting the carbon: the first siman, the second siman. And because he had one siman stand alone, as dedicated just to people who are Arelim, so therefore that siman, so to say, that one matir, has been disqualified. And Reb Meir is consistent, because Reb Meir says that I could do pigul even on the basis of just one of the matirin. And the Chachamim say no. Pigul cannot be done with one matir. In order for pigul to be accomplished, if a carbon has two matirin, right? The Rashi points out this is really primarily in Menachos, where every mincha has two matirin. There is a Lavona, and then there's the Kometz. But in this case, the two matirim are one pipe and the second pipe. So Chachamim say that in order to successfully do pigul, you have to do pigul on both matirim. Here too, in order to successfully disqualify the animal, I have to have an aril in mind while shechting both of the pipes. Okay? So again, Braisa, where order becomes significant. If aril comes in front of, the arilim come in front of the mulin, the Braisa says it is no good. How do we understand that Braisa? It's authored by Rav Meir. The Gemara gave us no less than three ways to understand the Braisa. Either one, ein l'shchit ala b'sof, and you only have a moment to have a machshav in mind. Two, there has to be agreement between heart and between your thought and your speech. And Rav Meir says that he doesn't think there has to be agreement, although the Gemara rejected that second approach. And the third approach is that while shechting the first pipe, you only had a Ralim in mind, and therefore Rav Meir is consistent with his position of you can create pigul with even with a half a matir. Adkan. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the Mishnah.